Hello and welcome to the Jerry Stackhouse episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 121, which is in honor of him ranking 121st on the all-time scoring list. Recording this one on the evening of Wednesday, August 27th, in the year of our Lord 2025, my name is Logan Wortman, and I am once again joined by my vestigial co-host, Jacob Roth. Jacob, how does it feel to be on the Jerry Stackhouse episode?
Feels pretty good. I am of a vessel. Isn't that what vestigial means?
Vestigial, I believe it means like a remnant of, like, we have vestigial tails, you know, like a tailbone that used to be a tail, or like
that one thing that always blows up in people's stomachs that doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
appendix. Yeah. Appendix. I don't think technically the appendix serves any purpose other than giving people appendicitis.
So yeah, I think vestigial basically means a remnant of something. You could have like a vestigial. You know,
something.
Yeah. Like your final vestige. That's it in a kind of a different form, but it's a similar concept. Yeah. You know, a vestige, a last vestige. Yeah.
But yeah, no, Jerry Stackhouse, kind of a random one to throw in, but
yeah,
a good one. A good one still.
Yeah. I thought he could get his own episode. Felt like a pretty good one.
I mean, obviously, he was a top 121 scorer of all time, or barely in that list, but he's on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think that's another thing that when you think about those, like, when people played also matters. So like someone that played during that point in time, because he was, I guess he kind of caught both fast and slow.
Yeah. He had a lot of slow though, like late 90s. And I think he finished his career like early 2010s is when he retired.
So it would have been
Pretty much all slow. But I think I saw just, you know, when looking at his basketball reference page earlier, I saw that he averaged 29.8 points in a season.
See, that's crazy. How slow, like, one, that's not a guy that you'd think of that would do that. And two, doing it at the point in time when he did do it is spectacular.
01, I believe. Yeah, he was second in scoring that year.
So yeah, because like, think of many guys that played the 60s where they had like a trillion possessions per, right? No, 60s is wrong. Yeah, 60s is right.
60s. Mm-hmm. 50s and 60s.
Yeah, there's a trillion possessions, so like, not to take anything away from pretty much predominantly Celtics goats.
And Wilt. And Oscar.
Still impressive that Stackhouse was doing it when basketball was essentially a slow drip compared to the open faucet that was their heyday.
Yeah. No, for sure.
We're thinking about it a little bit.
It is. It is. Absolutely. I've been preparing these right before I go live. The last episode, I don't know if you saw that. It was the Michael Porter Jr. one. That was basically the first one. That and the Michael Malone one. Or have been the first two that don't have anything to do at all with the episode number.
Just wanted to.
Yeah, I just wanted to give it to them. So back to the number, though. So 121, I'm using the all-time scoring list as a good reference point for that one.
Okay, I have a request, though.
Oh, yes.
Episode 151 has to be Lou Williams, Caribou Lou. He's not Caribou Lou.
Okay.
But 151 rum, pineapple juice, Malibu, Caribou. Come on, numb.
Yeah.
I don't need to keep saying the song, but that's Caribou Lou by Tech N9ne.
Yeah, shout out Tech N9ne. All right.
And so Lou Williams is episode 151 in the honor of Caribou Lou.
Okay. I already put that
down. I don't
down.
Think, unless there's a player nicknamed Caribou Lou that I'm unaware of.
I have no idea that there is one, but if it was anybody, I feel like it would be Lou Williams.
That's
to be honest, there's not a lot of Lou's.
Yeah.
There's Lou Dort.
Or the Dortcher Chamber, because the Dortcher Chamber also probably will struggle to get an episode, most likely. But it's fine.
Who knows?
Maybe the Lou Dort will definitely come up before the NBA season starts, potentially, as we've maybe we'll be doing a draft in reference to the guys that we just like.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of guys that don't regularly get love that will get some love, from me at least.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably guess, like, my top 10 list. I've also decided, looking, this is like a tease for that one, I am going to remove myself from selecting like direct former self. So like, I can't take Al Horford and pick one round one, because I would. I totally would. Or Luke Kornet. I'm going to remove myself. I might still take, because he's kind of high up there.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and make it so I have to like guys that I like because of them and not because they played for my beloved Celtics. You know what I mean?
See, Jokic was probably going to be just like my automatic first pick and then just move on. But and then I was probably going to have Vlatko Tronchar and Christian Brown come up not too long later. But I guess if we want to just get rid of our own teams.
You don't have to. I'm just going to do that.
That might be better, though.
Because I think that that'll bring out the fun. Like, we'll get, like, random. Like, Mamu is a guy. He probably won't get picked. But, like, that's a guy that's, like, no one's talking about Mamu except for that one Monday on SportsCenter where he had, like, 43 points or whatever in that one
34
game.
34 in 17 minutes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just crazy. Anyway, we can get to the topic of today. Mamu, not going to come up again. Because
I'd be surprised.
We're talking about almost the polar opposite in terms of where you're ranking NBA players.
Yeah. We're going into our top 10s for this season. This is the third year in a row that we've done this. And before we get into that, though, I'd like to first say thank you for listening. Please be sure to hit us up on Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee. If you'd like to support us, that's patreon.com/hooptheory and buymeacoffee.com/hooptheory. All of our links can also be found in the description of both the show and the episode, wherever you're watching or listening to this. We'd also greatly appreciate it if you'd rate the show, leave a like or a comment. Of course, be sure to subscribe and follow the feed. And lastly, we'd also love it if you sent something into our mailbag for us to read and react to. Basketball-related or otherwise, you can send those over to hooptheory.mailbag@gmail.com. But yeah, so getting back into it, though, without further ado, let's get into our top 10. The past 2 years now, we have gone in order from 1 to 10, you know, starting at 1. But I feel like that's like a weird way to do top 10s. I feel like that's kind of a unique thing to us.
It's because I feel like the top 10 has been especially for the NBA as it currently sits. There's no, like, usually there's like some hoopla and some fanfare, but the top end of the top 10 in the NBA has been essentially a 1-2-3 constant with no real changing, sometimes in the three spot. But for both of us that have similar basketball minds, I feel like the 1-2 and the 3 have not rotated at all.
Mm. And how long?
If that makes sense. 4 years, probably. I would say the top guy's been the same, and the second guy's been the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the top like 2 or 3 guys, I feel like have been. This is the first year I feel like we have anybody break into that top 3, except for delusional people like me that just don't like one of them and decide to put the superstar of their team in that list instead.
Yeah, we'll go through it at the end, but I have right here in front of me the top 10s for the past 2 years from both of us, and I think you'd be surprised with how different just 2 years ago it was with the top three. There's two guys, at least, that have been in the top three for both of us every year.
Every year?
Yeah, there's two names. The other one has slid out for actually both of us from 2 years ago. But anyways, so I think starting at 10 would be a good spot to look at. It's also a hard place to really nail down.
Yes.
So do you feel confident leading it off, or do you want me to?
I can lead it off. Also, the caveat I asked before, and we are going to be saying injuries are off. This is 2K, and injuries are off.
Mm-hmm.
So guys that we would anticipate would be good going into this. For funsies, I could also throw in, at the end, I'll run down what my list looked like before, because I just excluded, full transparency, I have two guys that tore their Achilles in the playoffs in my top 10. So that would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will list off my honorable mentions.
Okay, you want to start with that?
I feel like that would be a good place to start, and I'll start from the furthest away from 10, like dramatically, and then get closer.
Okay.
Does that work?
I want to hear this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I have Jaylen Brown, which is probably the, I just threw him on there because I wanted to. I'm not sure that mm-hmm. the top 10 is even a concept that is where we're at currently, but I want to throw it in there.
I think he's around the top 20 range. I don't know how many honorable mentions you have, but
quite a few. I have the best second option in the NBA, J-Dub.
Yeah.
I have Evan Mobley, despite his playoff oopsies. And then it's a bunch of old guys that I felt wrong to not say their name once. So it's Kawhi, KD, AD, LeBron. And then one that I don't know if I'm higher on than other people, but one that I like maybe is above a lot of those old heads, air quotes, Kate Cunningham.
All right. Yeah. So I counted 8 there.
And again, those are not in an order. Those are just people that, like, I was like, okay, names that my brain thought of for top 10. Did I forget somebody really bad?
I don't know, because I don't know who made your top 10 exactly, but from the names you've said, two of them did not make my top 20. That was And they're right on the outside looking in. Now it's J-Dub and Jaylen Brown.
Which are the last two names I have in my honorable.
Okay,
oh,
yeah.
We literally talked about one of the people I forgot to write down, Devin Booker, before we started recording. I didn't write him in my honorable mentions like a silly goose.
Okay, there you go.
Definitely should have been there because we had a whole conversation about him. Yeah. Paolo, the other guy. Maybe it's because we were talking about them. I didn't write them down. But those are two guys that are not top 10 honorable mention, but in that top 20 conversation, if we're going to go at it that route. But yeah, oopsies, silly goose me. That's my honorable mentions. I'll probably forget someone. I forgot to give that disclaimer also. I said I was going to do it before we really got into the list. I've been busy with work. And so I have been, there's been no sports brain really going on much at all this summer. I tried to lock in a little bit for this top 10, but I try to go and like just make a list and then narrow that list down without looking at other people's lists. So my brain is not impacted and influenced, affected. I don't have an accidental mistake. So I probably, if I forget someone, I'm sorry. I'm not really that sorry, but I'm sorry.
All right, so with your honorable mentions out of the way, looking at mine, this is kind of hard to lay out because I do have like 8 through 17, maybe 16. I might kick the last guy down to the next tier. 8 through 16 to 17 is all one tier for me.
Do you feel like there is a rough spot where you could break that up to leave some suspense for your 10th guy in the league?
Yeah, I think there's like the there's top. There's two guys I can break away from this tier. So
okay, cool.
Yeah. To give my honorable mentions, the last tier I have is 18 to 20 to complete my top 20, just to get a round number. Those three guys are Trae Young, Cade Cunningham, and Evan Mobley.
Okay.
And then at 17, I have Kawhi.
Yep. That's, again, I didn't have my guys in order, but there was just a guy that I'm like, I have to say his name, right? Because if he's like healthy and has one last hurrah, he's like the second best player on the planet. If he's healthy and has a last hurrah. Like, I feel like that's in there somewhere. I don't think that's the world we're going to live in, but that's like a world. So sorry, I'll stop cutting you off.
No, that's all right. I think top two is like a little high at this point. A couple of years ago, probably still, if he was fully healthy. But like, we just saw him in the playoffs this year pretty much at full health. He had that one game that's like one of his all-time greatest works of art. And then the rest of his games were just kind of like pretty decently like effective, you know, it was like not like outstanding, you know? So at this point I think Kawhi, like when he's at his best, is like probably like the eighth best player in the league, somewhere in there.
That's fair.
But, so I have him at 17 just because of the health factor combined with that, like him just being very unreliable. Kind of, it makes it easier for me that's the guy that I have like at the end of this tier that I feel like I could push down a little bit just because the availability factor hurts him quite a bit. And then the next name I have here is Devin Booker at 16. And then Tyrese Haliburton is actually who I have here at 15, not quite in the top 10, but also I don't want to say these in an order because this isn't really an order, this 10 through 16 spot here. So I have Hallie, Booker, Durant, LeBron, and then Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson.
Brunson's another name I just totally forgot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's definitely a guy that I should have.
Yeah, so he was really close to being at 10 for me. And I think that was my 10 or 11 spot. So the next name I have on that tier will be my number 10 selection. I guess who wants to give their 10 spot first?
I can give mine. I have Haliburton.
Okay. Yeah.
I think there's like a real universe where if he, like, I feel about the way that when he got injured, similar to the way that like when Jason Tatum got injured in that game 7 Miami game, he rolled his ankle like right away. Obviously Tatum still played through that game. But like if that would have not happened, was it like 2 minutes into the game? When he tore his Achilles?
Yeah, 3 or 4, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like super, I mean, not even halfway through the first quarter.
Yeah.
I know the game ended up ugly, but I really feel like there was a chance that they made that a game.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so I think that that's part of why I had him like above all those other guys. Because he, almost, not single-handedly. He had a lot of help. He had Pascal. He had Nembhard, which would look great in the playoffs.
Just a Neesmith. Group of guys.
Just a bunch of dogs around him.
Yeah, and a coach.
And a
heck of a coach.
And a really good coach. yeah. He like almost did what nobody thought was going to be able to happen. The East almost won the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And the team wasn't green. Like going into the year.
Or the Cavs. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, okay, the East isn't going to win, but if they do, it's only this direct route. These are the only roads we could see.
And then even after those two teams, they're like the next team consensusly was definitely not Indiana.
No, I would argue you could name
the Knicks, maybe the Bucks even.
I'd say the Bucks were there, like, oh, maybe the Dame Giannis thing. People were more likely to think that the aging Bucks were going to be more likely to be able to beat whoever came out of the West than what the Pacers did. And Halliburton is the one that was the engine of all of that alongside the brain of Rick Carlisle. Like, obviously, the coach is a huge part of it. But yeah. I feel like that's why I put him in the top 10 spot. Maybe if it's only in title, like to be like, he's a top 10 guy. Just because of what he did. I mean, he took what was a like consensus everyone thinks they're gonna win, especially once they got rolling, they're like, oh no, this is no joke. This is the Thunder are going to be very good. There's no youth getting in the way. And they did it. And the Pacers almost did it. They were that close. And I don't know if they beat them in that game 7. What if
they definitely could have
suck. You know? But if he doesn't go down 4 minutes in, they definitely could have. Because you know what's a real really dramatic emotional momentum swing, a disgusting dunk off of your best player tearing their Achilles. That's terrible. That sucks. I feel for Indiana fans, but that's why I have him at 10. I can digress now. But yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely agree with all that. And the Rick Carlisle thing, he almost like he already did that back in 2011 with the Mavs, had one of the craziest, most Cinderella story-esque runs. Like this would have just been probably the surefire number one pick for that for the rest of eternity if the Pacers would have actually pulled it off.
No, Halliburton almost did a Dirk-esque thing. A Dirk, like that guy's a top three at his position.
Yeah, I'd say that the consensus top two examples of those championship runs currently are the 2011 Mavs. Or maybe the top three, 2011 Mavs, 2019 Raptors, and then the 95 Rockets. Those three all did that, and then the Pacers would have been, honestly, probably at the top of those, those four.
Think of the players that did that, that Halliburton would have been like, oh, remember when the Raptors had Kawhi at like the peak of his powers? Oh, remember when the Rockets had Hakeem? Mm-hmm. Remember, like, that's the thing that blows my mind is like Halliburton then would be, even if it's in a stupid, weird Mickey Mouse ESPN stat, on a list of names with those guys that are all in the Hall of Fame without question.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. Anyway, I should, what do you have at 10?
My number 10 is, I literally just flipped it around before I said it. So, it was just one name, now it's another. That name right now is a pretty long one. It's Victor Wembanyama. That's who I have at 10. Did you forget about him? I can't tell what you're...
I did not forget about Wemby.
Okay. So you just have him higher than I do.
I do have him higher.
Which I just had him at 9 just a little bit ago. I don't know if I made a mistake just now or not, but
I have him at 10.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. He's so young, and I also have my own voice in my head from 2 years ago when we first introduced this list. How I kept saying, like, this is not projecting forward at all. It's like hard, like right now as it stands, what we've seen so far, no projection at all. I was really strict on that a couple years ago. So I think that influenced me a little bit in that. But I feel like if you're projecting, I wouldn't be surprised if Wemby this time next year is top 4 or 5. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised at all. And, you know, just the two-way factor, like, it's really the defense is the main thing that is just so valuable. Like, on offense, yeah, he can be a little bit spotty in his shot selection, but he's also so efficient just because of how big he is if he gets the ball anywhere near the rim.
Yeah.
But then on the defensive end, he's just a walking top three defense. Like, if he has a real team around him, you know.
And honestly, even then, he could have a nightmare scenario, Rudy Gobert in Utah level, like I have no one else around me, and you will still have a top five defense. Yeah. The Spurs will never field trade offers for Wemby, but like if someone's like, hey, I'll give you this, this, and this, be like, oh, well, you're also getting a top five defense when you trade for him, so I would like more than that. If he gets traded, I'm going to scream.
Yeah.
Especially if it's to a if it's like to Memphis, I don't know if I'll care. But if it's to someone like
to LA.
No.
Luka and Wemby?
No.
That would end that the would world.
Okay, I already like there's like a bunch of clips of me going like, "Oh, DeAndre Ayton, the perfect matchup for Luka." Then you just take it and be like, "Oh, what if it was a generational potential GOAT candidate?
What if it was Gen Z Kareem?"
Yeah, just that would be so bad. That would be so bad. And I mean, I don't even know if it'd be fun. It would be fun to watch. But like, it would be so bad for just the longevity.
It would literally be the KD Warriors. Oh,
I just level. Had a brain. I just had my brain went to a place and it's a dark place. You want to go there with me?
I thought it was the other way at first, but sure. I'll what take
if,
a...
What if Adam Silver decides, hey, we're going to do some expansion teams.
Yeah.
One of them needs to have Wemby. Trade him now. Give him the, do it. That's, think how devastating that would be. Like, yeah, hey, Vegas, guess what you have? A French guy. Oh, no, here's the nightmare. They're going to put a team in Quebec, and they're going to make Wemby get traded there.
Because of the French connection?
That was the...
French-Canadian? I guess it would be,
they speak...
Montreal.
Yeah. Do they speak French? Or it's a special French. It's not just regular French.
Well, I mean, it's a specific dialect because of how many years they've developed it, but it is French. Yeah.
It's like a Mexican Spanish versus a Spanish Spanish
type
of difference where there's fundamental differences, but they can understand each other.
Yeah. It's like Australian English or American English versus. Yeah.
I did not need to take us down that rabbit hole. Would you like me to do my Wemby on the court discussion when I say his name or now?
Well, how far is the name? I guess is it like a couple spots? Okay. I guess I did want to throw out the Monk stuff that that you want to talk about that at all.
That is part of mine.
Oh, okay.
But it's not just the Monk. The fact that he went from
KG.
A Monk and then went to Kevin Garnett, one of the best at not only like being.
Aggressive.
Anger incarnate.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett is the red thing from Inside Out, but we saw him before as a human. He's just anger. Mm-hmm. And then, but also the other thing that KG always talked about, and you see clips of him being like, go into people. Do not always be fading away doing all this stuff. Go into people. You're big. Do it. If Wemby starts like doing that, it's over.
Which he already kind of does a little bit. Yeah.
No, but like if he went to the KG school of whatever KG teaches... After finding inner peace,
just being a dog or a killer, like just the epitome of that.
No, yeah, but a killer with inner peace where you won't ever flare up, you'll
he
just be
yin and yang. Yeah,
he's yin and yang in one thing,
he knows when to pull each out. Yeah,
what do we do? I don't know if anybody can stop him.
Uh huh, he's collecting all of the necessary pieces,
the infinity stones.
Yeah, yeah,
Steph will retire and then he'll just spend like year seven. Wemby will just be like, I just hung out with. Steph all summer, and then he'll just have like limitless range Hall of Fame badge. It was like, I guess he kind of has not that to that extent, but he'll just everything will be broken. He's a video game character, and you used
already.
Cheats, and you've used cheats, and you've bought VC, and you've broken the character. That's what's happening, and we're witnessing it with our eyeballs.
Yeah. So even though he hasn't been on a winning team yet, I just had to put him at 10.
I have him higher on my list because I also kind of forgot that you did that. We are not projecting because my list is kind of a soft projection. So So that's kind of also partially why he is higher up on my list. Would you like me to go to my number 9?
Did you give your 10? I can't remember now.
It was Tyrese Haliburton.
Oh yeah. Hallie. Which I should put that down. You put AD as a honorable mention, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's who I had written down as my guess for who you had at 10.
Oh, really?
But yeah,
he was an honorable mention. He was close. Mm. The three guys that I kind of had it was tough because I felt good about the top 8, who they were, but at 9, for almost the exact opposite reason of Tyrese Haliburton, Donovan Mitchell being the best player on a team that really did not meet, not to his fault, not at all, but I don't know. I felt in my brain where like that knocked him down. When I had some of these closer ones, I was like, I just got to move him down a little bit. And then every gut check, I just kept moving him down. I'm like, I'm also a hater. I need to stop moving him down. So this is the lowest I would let him go. Because I was
How high was he?
Only two more spots higher. It was only two spots higher.
That sounds crazy for you to ever, like you specifically, to ever
this
have
this was me
that high.
Just like writing names, thinking of like who was like an MVP thought last year. Like, let's throw some. And then like I moved him down pretty dramatically.
Mm-hmm. I had him in very tight contention with the 10 spot, but he didn't end up making my list. I had him as one of the first guys off.
But I think that he does like a lot of things. I just think he's at a rough time in the NBA. I feel like if he would have been a player in 2012, he would be like he'd be like a Melo level demigod.
Yeah.
In terms of how people view him, but he's not, because he's everyone is insanely good at basketball right now. Sorry, you're a fringe top 10 guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the era he's in, because everyone's insane. Every team has a dog. Every team in today's NBA has a top three player in 2012. Okay, maybe I shouldn't say that without thinking. That's
yeah. Just
wrong.
level it back a little bit, and
like level 10.
Got something there.
Do you think every single player in 2025 has a top 10 player?
Every single team has a top 10 player.
What has a guy that would be good enough to be a potential or a fringe top 10 guy in 2012?
I'd say other than like the Wizards. I don't know who that is on the Wizards, but like most teams, I would say 25 at least of the teams probably have somebody.
Yeah, that's probably a better way to put
it. Yeah.
Also, I was going to try and do 2015, but I feel like that's when things started to change. That's when like the vibe started to shift. Just because it'd be a nice decade ago. The best guy on every team almost in the NBA would be a top 10 guy a decade ago.
Like 2013, 2014 range,
It doesn't quite work for the 2015 season because that's when things started to kind of transform. Mm-hmm. The start of the Warriors NBA.
Mm. But, yeah, it's true.
I have Donovan Mitchell, who does so many things super wonderfully. I think he did a really big growth thing, just him as a player. Last year, as we saw that he did dial it back at times when it's like, okay, let's let other people do some things, get some reps. And then when he went to go do that in the playoffs, it super backfired because Darius Garland turned into Franklin the Turtle, just disappeared, turned into a...
Yeah. To be fair, did he break his toe or something? He had something where...
Everyone's hurt, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And also Donovan Mitchell was playing through an ankle sprain. Everybody was playing through something, but...
But it just, he like, the guys that he was like... essentially grooming, in not the weird predator sense, this whole entire season to be like, we can like have multiple guys that can handle it. So and when we're in the playoffs, if they key on me, they're screwed. They weren't actually, because they just were like key on Mitchell.
Max Strus couldn't make anything.
Also, I know we weren't going to talk about other things. Max Strus not being on, George Niang. I crossed them in my mind. Two people I just don't like.
Oh.
Not being on the Celtics, it took 36 hours. It was sick. It was awesome. He's gone immediately. They sent him to the
moon.
You
don't like George Niang?
No. Ever since he did that stupid thing where he grabbed Jaylen Brown, like flopped under the bench, and then he went and grabbed his knee and pulled it back when he was playing for the Sixers.
Oh, I don't...
And it was the year that Jaylen had a bum knee. And he like reached out.
I remember
and he,
that series. I don't remember that happening really.
No, because like Jaylen Brown then was like, "Do you want to fight right now? I will fight you."
I kind of remember that now, actually, that you say that Jaylen Brown
like turning around, like snapping around really quick and being And it's because he like literally like reached out, like essentially, if you were like a track athlete and you had fallen and you get into a running stance and then you go to take off, someone grabs your knee right as you take the first big step and pulls you back.
Mm-hmm.
Not super helpful to the health of everything. So the fact that that guy was immediately, I hope it was Jaylen Brown calling Brad Stevens. I'm like, get this guy fucking away from me. I don't want him in. Anyway, that story will never come out, but
It seems like an Embiid like signature move. Maybe that's where he picked it up from. He was channeling his star player too much.
Maybe. But anyway, I was glad he's not a Celtic anymore. But Max Strus also, for some reason, they scratched the same itch in my brain. Kind of like Quincy Acey and
Kylo Quinn.
Were they like, like they're different players, but they scratch the same thing in my brain. The same part of my synapses fire.
Or Nicholas Batum and Dabo Sefolosha for you.
Yes. Where they're just people where they just like, there's no reason they should. They just do.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Anyways, where were we? We have the, you gave nine.
I said Donovan Mitchell. I said my nine.
I like that. I like that pick. It's surprising coming from you. I feel like I would be the guy that, also with Hallie. So both of your guys so far are guys that like, we've had arguments in the past where I tend to favor them more than you do.
Hallie, like, I had one weird down air, but I've always been a pretty big Hallie guy.
Like all NBA this year, you were like super taken aback by me putting him all NBA. And you were like, if any Pacer is on NBA, it's Siakam.
Okay, that's also because my love of Siakam is an unmatched entity.
Yeah.
Spicy P is, I'm not a big tattoo guy, but Naz Reid, I will have a pepper with the letter P in it for Spicy P. I will have a bunch of dumb NBA tattoos.
Why is that not his logo? He has that weird logo thing that for his brand, you know? Why is it not
mine
that?
Mine would be juvenile. It would be like a little dumb little chili pepper.
That'd
with
be
the letter
better,
P in
though,
it,
than
I guess.
his thing.
I just love Spicy P. I don't know why I do. I just love Pascal Siakam. And also, Halliburton had that weird injury, and then it took him a while to get ramped back up, and then he turned into essentially Nicolas Cage in Ghost Rider in the playoffs and just burned everyone alive.
That is a good imagery that you use there.
He just like all of a sudden went from human Nick Cage to I'm on fire Nick Cage, and it was awesome. So that is partially why, but I'm a big, I don't know if you've noticed this, I have a little pet team that's not my beloved Nebraska Cornhuskers, and it's the Iowa State Cyclones in almost every sport, and I don't know why. I've always
you
been
like them. I didn't know
Iowa
that.
State.
Yeah.
Not Iowa.
I know, but I just know, like, as a whole, you hate the state of Iowa.
Des Moines,
in general.
All right. The state, okay. The city of Des Moines. Ames. Technically, it's Ames. It's like a Bellevue to Des Moines.
Oh, really?
Bellevue to Omaha is Ames too.
I thought it was like a Lincoln to Omaha situation, but anyways,
maybe I'm
stupid.
Anyway,
I'm pretty sure it's like an hour north or south or something like that.
I love TJ Otzenberger, their basketball head coach. I also love Matt Campbell, their football coach. I have a weird little man crush on the Iowa State Cyclones.
Monte Morris. But you hate George Niang.
Yeah, I do hate George Niang. I do hate George Niang.
Well,
I hate him because of something he did. He would have started at a positive until he essentially assaulted my beloved Jaylen Brown. Also, Jason Tatum has braids. I need to stop talking about the self. I'll
he
talk
braids?
About it. You didn't see this?
Nah.
Oh, we'll give it a Google when we're done recording. It's awesome.
Does he look like Drake? I feel like he would look like Drake with braids. Like cornrows? Does he have like cornrows? Is that what
it is? Yeah, he does. I'm pissed now. Thanks for ruining that. Drake, not an Iowa State guy. Fun fact. Don't like him either.
Yeah.
Gosh dang it, Logan. Ticks me off, man. Why'd you do that?
I haven't even seen him yet. I just feel like that's what he would look like if he had braids.
That's just, dang. That stinks. Okay, well, what's your number nine so I can stop thinking about this?
My number nine is Anthony Edwards is who I'm going to put here at number nine.
Oh,
I feel like I could slide him up and down a little bit, all the way to like probably six or seven. I could probably see Ant sliding up to, but nine is where I have him at the moment. Seems like you have him quite a bit higher.
Not. I mean,
you had him at five last year. Spoiler alert for the end of the show, what we're looking at, but which was a surprise. Yeah.
Again, I always do the projecting, and he's also one of my guys.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just think that his decision making, like that, even though he played awesome in round one, where it gets dialed up when he was going against the Thunder, albeit that's like the most impossible defense to look good or competent against at all. But he definitely looked like he had some growing still to do as
for sure.
main distributor, ball handler, initiator on a team.
I think I would like to see them next year, and they've almost made no changes, so we essentially will get to see them run it back. I think another more reps with like Julius Randle being an offensive option and Ant maybe finding some happy middle ground between this, like, I'm J.R. Smith, I heat check, and I'm also the fastest first step in the West. So, like, I would like to find a middle ground between that to unlock his full potential, maybe. But I also agree that he looked like it was not a skill issue. Well, it's the Thunder, so it was. But, like, for him, it was a lot of, like, that was a mental silly goose mistake, Anthony Edwards, you silly goose, for doing that type of thing.
For sure. But yeah, I feel like at his best, obviously, he's one of the very few guys in the league that is going to go for like a huge number on a scoring night. You know, like you go for 50 against just about anybody, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Definitely one of those guys for sure.
He's one of the guys that if things are going crazy, you're like, oh, he's going to hit a number. He's going to hit a very high number. I don't know, because nobody I think will ever get to the 81. That feels impossible. But I feel like he's one of the humans, if it's against like the Wizards and he's just cooking, he's one of the humans that could do it.
Yeah, I felt like this was a good conversation. I've thought about this before. If anybody were to beat Kobe's 81, who would it be?
Who is it?
Yeah.
He's one of them.
I felt like we should talk about that sometime. But yeah, he's definitely one of them. Luka, I think, is another one. But yeah, we'll get to him, I'm sure.
Yes. Luka, shocker, does appear on my list.
Yeah. So there's my nine, I guess, to kind of snake it, although I don't think we really did that with 9 and 10. But to snake it a little bit, I'll give my eight, if that's all right. And that is Anthony Davis. So the other Anthony is who I have here at eight.
Mm.
Just the two-way factor. This is obviously assuming health as well. But yeah, so I just have him here just because of the rock solid, like when he's healthy in the playoffs, especially he ascends to just a different tier. As far as in the playoffs, he's the best defender, I think, in the modern era, to be quite honest. Wemby, I think, will give a challenge for that. But the key to that sentence is he needs to get to the playoffs to begin with first, you know?
Yeah.
But once he's there, I'm sure he's definitely going to be that new name. But yeah, Anthony Davis is just the guy in that territory at the moment for me. And I think that obviously he's like just like a better version of Evan Mobley, who's a guy that I was also considering. You know, he's a guy that I put in my honorable mentions.
He's a polished version of Evan Mobley.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because he's had the time to polish.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I feel like I must be forgetting someone.
Oh, why is that?
What was your honorable mentions? Can you list to where you've been so far?
Yeah, so... at eight, I have AD, and then nine, Ant, 10, Wemby. And then my 11th through 16 is Brunson, Mitchell, LeBron, KD, Booker, Halliburton. And then I have Kawhi, Mobley, Cade, and Trey.
Okay. Or, you know.
Yeah.
Something. About, there's someone that I'm messing up. I don't know what it is. I'll figure it out. I'll cross
that bridge. Like on your list or my list?
I feel like my list, I'm missing something. Because I have a name that maybe I just missed it both times.
That you have a name that is on your list that I have not said at all.
It's my next name, so I can just say it. I must have just missed it.
And I haven't said it at all? Wait. Let me guess it. I want to try to figure out who this is.
I might have just missed it. That's most likely the scenario.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't hear you say it because there's no way. You forgot them.
Maybe.
Can you say your nine was, so it's Ant. 80, Ant, Wemby.
Wemby. Mm-hmm.
Honorable mentions.
Brunson. Mitchell.
Yep.
LeBron James.
Yep.
Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Devin Booker.
Okay.
Tyrese Halliburton.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Him?
No.
Or
okay.
K.
Who else?
Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
Cade Cunningham.
Okay.
Trey Young.
I think you forgot someone.
Okay.
I think.
You might be right.
My eight is Steph.
No, I have him in my... I still have him.
Then I must... So okay, we'll figure it out later. I'm so confusion. Okay.
It's probably Ant, right? It's probably Ant that we're flip-flopping. Because you have Ant so high, right? And Wemby. You still haven't said Wemby yet.
Oh, that's list. Where I got offset. I have Steph. And I think... I don't know. My brain is just like, gonna fall off. The fall off's here. Maybe it's not. I don't know. My brain is like,
you had Steph at 8 last year also.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't have him that far off from 8. So
Steph is my 8. I don't really have anything intelligent other than I was like, he needs to be there. Let me think. I definitely have him above the Mitchell Halliburton guys. And then I think I did too much of the projection thing, which we've already talked about, that you did a better job being like, not right now. What we've seen with our eyeballs thus far. So that is why I have Steph at 8.
All right. I like it. No, yeah, for sure. Okay, I think he's still definitely up here.
7.
Oh, yeah. You go for 7.
This is where I have Wemby.
Okay.
So kind of the hedging the bets between the chance that he cracks that top 4 and is just at 10.
Which, no, 7 is realistic. Like, I kind of was considering 7.
In that range as well. And we already talked about Wemby a lot, but it's the KG thing that, like, not just KG, but like the way that he's approached every offseason he's been a rookie has been, since he's been a rookie, rather, has been crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's had an Olympics since he's been a rookie. He's had all of these things that essentially have, like, helped him grow. And then the one offseason he had that could be, like, kind of normal, he goes for, like, a month. And, like,
I don't know how long. Do you know how long it was?
I thought it was a month. He was with these monks.
Yeah, I didn't look into it that deep. And so then I don't know.
He went and, like, just to go and, like, do stuff with KD. I'm just like, okay. What's this guy cook? KG, right? Not KD. KG. Kevin Garnett, the big ticket. I don't know. I'm just like, just everything about it is like, this is going to work. Like, there's almost no doubt in my brain. And yeah, like, the thing is, like, he's doing all these things that are for basketball that are not, like, putting extra reps on his body. Like, I mean, obviously, he's still putting work in, but it's not like he's doing an Olympics where that does put wear and tear on your body just from strenuous basketball. I don't know. I'm just, I'm in love with the way that he's approached things so far, and I think we will see the fruits of his labor and the rest of the Spurs' labor this year aggressively, because I am omega high on the Spurs.
Oh, really? That's what, like, I was about to ask.
Like, how I felt about the
Thunder a couple years ago, 2 years ago?
Well, the Thunder a couple years ago, I don't feel like was that obvious. I almost think that I'm as, like,
You think this is more obvious, you're saying?
No, that this is less obvious than, like, well, or I guess, no,
I think
right.
You underrate how much you were early on the Thunder. Like, okay. 2 years ago, right. You put them at, the, like, the 3 seed when most people thought they would be about 500, and they won 60 games almost. Like, 58 games.
I feel like the Spurs, granted, the West is the West. I feel like, I guess, the Spurs, I think, will be a 3 or 4 seed. I think they're that good.
I could see it. Yeah.
Like, it's hard for me to be like, again, this is like seed, so it's regular season wins. It's a lot of young guys that, like, don't need to, like, rest at all. They can just go. But, like, outside of the Thunder, maybe the Rockets, I don't know if there's, like, a team that you could confidently get me to be like, there's no world they'll be better than that, record-wise.
Mm.
They might obviously, the other teams might be better, but you won't be able to convince me there's zero universes where this team has a better record.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I could just see, obviously, a lot of it depends on Wemby's health. You know, that's the big thing. But even then, like, if Wemby's fully healthy, I could see them struggling a little bit and being like, but I can't, if he's fully healthy, playing like at least like 65 games, let's say, I would be surprised if they were below 38, 39 wins.
See, I feel like that is a despicably low number.
Yeah.
If Wemby has a legitimately healthy season.
I think I would put their line at like 40 and a half games. Probably.
I'd take the over with a hard lock.
Okay. That's fair.
That just is what my silly goose gut is feeling. And being very high on Wemby and Stephon Castle, also just a big fan of that guy's body of work and just everything else. And then they've got my dog, Luke Kornet. So yeah. And again, I could be totally off.
For a 4-year deal, also.
It's a 2-year deal. It is a 4-year deal, but it's a 2-year deal. So it's a super,
like, team option, right?
Yeah, it's team option. And it's a super Spurs-friendly deal because it looks like it's Luke Kornet for $10 million a year. But in reality, it's like Luke Kornet for $6 million a year, and it's backloaded, which they'll just renegotiate if they want to keep him around. It's a super good Spurs deal. It got Luke Kornet, like, money for his, like, if this is his last, like, contract, I doubt it will be. But he got paid. He'll be good for, like, living existence, which makes me happy. I mean, I've never heard an NBA guy talk about taxes, but Luke Kornet's brought up taxes before. He's like, gotta make sure we make things work.
I don't know. This contract is like three times his previous career earnings up until this point.
No, it's awesome. I love it. But that is, again, thing that I don't need to continue talking about because I keep roundabouting it to my Celtics and I didn't want to. But my brain doesn't work very well. So I have Wemby at 7. Who do you have at 7?
My 7 is somebody that I very well could have just like avoided putting him on this list at all just because we haven't seen him play basketball in so long. Really since like the very beginning of the season.
Oh, this is who I forgot completely. And I know why I didn't.
This is who I have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you're talking about forgetting somebody, my first bet would have been this guy. And that is Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I have him anywhere on this typed document in front of me.
I don't believe
it. Because I forgot. Not as like a slight. I feel like I don't think I'd put him this high. Hater, I am. I feel like I probably would have thrown him in like, honestly, just out of spite, the honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's who I am in my soul.
Yeah. I just felt like I had to put him here because
that's
like,
fair.
When he's playing, we talked about this on the phone recently, off the podcast, but he, more than anybody in NBA history, the person who has scored the most points per possession of basketball ever is Joel Embiid.
And the other thing is, like, when he's healthy, he's also a pretty good defensive player. He's not like a devoid of like, oh crap, we got to build around this.
No, he's very large, very in charge,
and uses it defensively as well as offensively. But yeah, that's a very good name, a good logical place to put this person. But again, who knows which one shows up? And he's also a guy that I feel like his team will either like, oh yeah, we won mid-50s games, or we won 25. We don't know how, but that's just the way the cookie crumbled.
Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely.
Is that the biggest possible swing that we think there is in terms of...
I think it's either them or the Pelicans.
If one guy goes down, if one human goes down...
One human, oh, okay.
If one guy goes down...
It's got to be the Nuggets. Right?
Oh, yeah, because you guys would suck so bad. You guys would be essentially the Chicago Bulls. It'd be so bad.
Yeah, but it like that's like a weird thing because it's like it's not very realistic. Like we've never seen Jokic miss any like really extended
it would have to, period
of time.
I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to start knocking on wood and not even say what I was thinking.
Yeah. For what if Embiid, we traded, it's just like another Tuesday.
What if we traded 15? What if we just got a little crazy?
Yeah.
And traded 15.
Yeah. Embiid, it's definitely more of a normal situation for him to be missing large swaths of time.
One could say it's the majority of the time.
Yeah. Just about. I think it is actually over 50% of the games of his career he's missed. Very close, but that shouldn't be close at all.
No, that's like the last stat that shouldn't be close to 500.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's crazy. That makes sense why you had him, and that's the guy. If we were talking about who Jacob, that's who I did not have in my top 10 at all. Anywhere near it.
No.
Next up is a name that we have also already said. Anthony Edwards.
At 6.
At 6. Oh, is it your turn? I'm sorry that I cut you.
No, I didn't cut you. I don't think so. I wasn't about to go into it.
I have 6. I have Anthony Edwards. Probably just a little bit higher because of our personal preferences of... Like that. That's probably the main reason. And I forgot Joel Embiid. I don't think I'd put Embiid, obviously, in that list still because I'm a hater, but I love Ant. Makes me smile.
Who else do you have in the top 6, though? I'm a little confused.
I have only a 5 left.
Oh, because Ant is 6th. Yeah, duh.
Ant is 6.
All right. I'm bad at math.
But 5 makes sense then, right? I don't have... I don't,
yeah, no,
I'm
that looking was the at, top I'm 5. Like, that...
Okay, yeah. Also, it's my top 5, so it super makes sense, but yeah. And no injuries are included.
Yeah, I have the same exact top 5. I feel like this is the easiest. Like
I think it's in
the
order.
Top 5 was super easy.
I bet you we have it in the same order. No, we don't.
So my 2 through 4 is like, I could do any order. really. But one and five are dead set in positions.
I am also the same. My one and five are the same people. And I bet you they're the same as yours.
Oh, yeah. No, that is for sure. Yeah. It's just the order of the two through four guys.
The people that dictate our mood the most are one and five.
Yeah, that's true. But also, I feel like that's a pretty consensus thing, especially for the number one guy. But,
yeah.
I think most people, most like real basketball people who are doing the injuries turned off button in their brain.
Yeah, would have this. Who is your six?
My six is Steph.
Is Steph. Okay.
Yeah. And this is kind of what I was just saying about the top five is so solidified to me. It's weird. Like the past few years, I feel like there's so many people that you can throw into a top 10. It's like so deep. But this is like the first year where I felt like after the top five, then I was like, I can't think of another guy who I'm like, this guy has to be a top 10 guy. You know,
yeah.
Like all literally starting at six, I'm like, he could be at 11.
Well, and I think the thing that's tough is that's also in a weird way of like so many guys you want to say they're top 10. Our brains have had to deal with it for like 3 years. So now like the top 10 title, we're like, okay, you've got to be a really big deal to be at the top 10. So there's like essentially the top 20 or the top 20 sans the top five is like your brain is like, okay, I could rotate these guys in any way kind of depending on because I do think that there is like the elite of the elite and then there's just guys that are very, very good or aging, I think is the biggest thing for like this Steph spot for like why I had him lower in the top 10 was because like obviously if Steph's like going to be back to what he was when he was like dominating things at points last year, yeah, like that guy's for sure a top 10 guy, but you just don't know. You don't know what's coming. You don't know when Father Time will knock, knock, knock on the door for Wardell.
Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of these guys, like LeBron when he's playing well, arguably not quite top 10, but like in that ballpark, KD.
No, for sure. I think LeBron definitely could be a top 10 guy still. I might be wrong.
Well, and it's just also weird because like top 10 also saying he's not top 10 is not a jab. There's just a lot of really good talent.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of olds. And I think that's also the biggest thing. The longevity has increased for a lot of guys. So there's a lot less retirement helping you trim the top of the league. Because guys will just stop playing.
More guys are in the range.
Your supply of high quality NBA talent is high. Mm-hmm. And the demand is only 10 to be a top 10 guy.
Yeah, so it's
just tougher
sure.
and tougher. But yeah.
Yeah. And then LeBron, I think with the advanced age, I think that the day to day, like him being able to just stay at that high level consistently is like the thing that brings him down for me. Is like every day, every game, I don't think he can be quite a top 10 guy. Steph, I feel better about that at this point.
Yeah, but if LeBron can give that 5-minute burst or that 3-minute burst once a game, I will always have him as a top 10 honorable mention because we got to see it. Was it once in the playoffs last year or was it? It was the playoffs, wasn't it? Where he had just that insane quarter.
Oh, was it against? Against the Wolves. They only had one series because they lost in five to the Colts.
But it was like we were like, oh, okay. Miami LeBron's still in there. He just needs to. He can only do it for 6 minutes, but it's there. It's still there.
No, for sure.
As long as that's around, I feel like bringing him up in a list like this is required to be a certified ball knower.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I agree. So who wants to give five? I think we both have the same five, like we just talked
about.
Jason Tatum. Yeah.
This is with injuries turned off. If someone was barely listening and they just like, what do you mean, Jason Tatum? He's not playing. That's correct. We are doing injuries turned off. That is why we have him at five. If we're having injuries on, I'm just not naming him because he's not playing this year. Instead of putting him at 10, like the ringer.
Like the ringer. Yeah. And who knows? I'm not a doctor, and neither are you, listener. So who
knows? A chance
he might play this. Well, yeah, that's true. We could have a doctor listening.
I hope he doesn't.
He could play this year.
He could, but I don't want.
Yeah.
Come back strong.
Strong like bull.
Strong like bull.
Yeah. So I think he's pretty clearly the fifth guy. Like, oh, I totally forgot. I was going to do 2K ratings along with my top 10 thing this year. I totally forgot. That slipped my mind. But
I mean, you could retroactively, I guess, do it in the video if you wanted to.
That's true. Yeah. But
I mean, that'd be a lot of work without any audio payoff. But
With Tatum, though, I have him like he's like a clear step below the top four. So I have like Jokic, I have the top four at like a 99 to 97 range in 2K ratings.
And he's like a 94, 95?
Yeah, exactly. 94, 95 is where I have Tatum. And then,
I would say
him,
there's another cliff. It's like 91.
93, 92, 91. Okay. Yeah. So we're in that range.
So what do you have? Like Cade Cunningham, like an 87?
No, I'd say Cade's like an 89, 90.
Okay.
So like all the way down to 20 is like Trae Young, I'd put at 89 probably. Mobley, 88, 89.
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown, 89 probably. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
He's definitely in that range also.
Makes sense. So we've already kind of accidentally spoiled it a bunch of times and teased it, and I know you're going to cut some of them out because you just want, but do we want to do one and then build back up from four? Or do we want to do 4-3 and two?
Oh.
Because, okay, my thought is the second we say three, people know the rest of the list.
The second we say four or second we say three?
When we say number three, they'll just know the whole list.
Oh, because, yeah.
They'll know two and they already know one.
Number one is Jokic.
Yeah, same for me. I have Jokic there, and I think it is. This was the, I don't want to say it was close, but this was the one where I was like, do I think about this yet? And then I was like, no. In terms of if
for
anyone.
Jokic?
Yes.
Oh.
Like I had, like that? I thought I was like, because like brain, make a top 10. One dot Jokic. And then I had like a quarter of a second where I was like, do I think about this? And then I said, no, return two dots. Next, like it was like a, but that's the first year I've even think I've had that quarter second just because of the youth coming from below him.
Yeah, no, that's true. So we have
not just youth, but just people coming from below him that are in different opportunities than they previously were.
This is the third year in a row now that we both have Jokic at number one. And I think everybody and their mother probably.
Yeah.
3 years in a row now.
Ever Shannon Sharp, probably. He just seems like he'd have a bad take.
Just him specifically. I don't even really know what his Jokic thoughts are, to be honest. But
I think
see
him
being...
and Kendrick Perkins both thought that white people only like Jokic because he's also white.
Oh.
And they just are hating on
maybe
black excellence.
Anyway,
sorry.
I had to skirt around that. To number four, I guess, is where we'll go now.
I think that's the way. We don't have to do it that way. That's just the way my brain works.
Okay.
So, like,
I'd like to hear what you have.
Leave some suspense.
Yeah.
My four, and this, honestly, this was the hardest one for me to figure out between three and four.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like a rock, paper, scissors, depending on my mood, on two, three, and four. But today, my toughest was do I let the age get dethroned a little bit, or do I let the youth surge?
Yeah.
And I ended up going with the and Giannis is my
fourth.
I had him four. It was either Giannis is my four. I really struggled. But again, it's like they're all 98 overall if we're doing 2K numbers.
Yeah. I just am confused why you're higher on Luka this year than you were
skinny Luka
the year. But he hasn't even been playing basketball.
In shape, Luka.
Well, I mean, he's been playing for Slovenia, I guess, but...
In shape, Luka. Looking at him, I didn't even watch any Slovenia Euro anything. Watching in shape Luka, like, see him run, I'm like, oh, no. Nico Harrison has unleashed a monster.
But last year, we just got out of him, you know, playing all the way through the playoffs, leading his team to the finals, going against the Celtics. Like, why was he not... I was just confused by that. That now, after he lost in five to the Timberwolves, and then there's some pictures of him looking skinnier.
It's also not just the skinnier part. It's more than just, like, he looks like an athlete now instead of just, like, an overgrown normal person, if that makes sense. Mm. He just, like, obviously he always looks like an athlete because he's, like, 6'7 or whatever he is, 6'8, whatever he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, when you physically look like an athlete, also, I think the first year of the Lakers thing...
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with you.
Not like in terms of comparing their playoff runs, I feel like is not fair.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. I guess it's just for Giannis, I don't feel like anything should have slid him down, I guess. And so then that means Luka must have risen for you.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know if I would say Luka's
super close
risen for me in one 1 year's time. But because of how high I already had him, you know, yeah. I had him at 2 last year.
Yeah.
After coming off the playoff run. You had him at 3 behind Giannis. And then that leaves the one guy
yeah.
that we haven't named yet in this top 4. And that's who I think I'm going to have to put at 3, I want to say. I have Luka at 4, by the way. And then I'm going to put Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. At number 3, I could definitely see any of these guys being at number 2. I definitely feel better about the arguments, though, for Giannis or SGA being at 2.
Yeah, that's what I meant, where like I was like, I struggled to figure out which person I felt like, oh, I can put them in this place and then go off of that. I couldn't find like a pillar post. Again, like, because you said you feel better about the conversation for SGA or Giannis at like the 2 side, but then I was like, I could also, between the Luka and Giannis conversation, put Giannis in my brain lower, even though I feel like comparing Luka and SGA, something in my brain, I couldn't put Luka definitively over SGA. But then with the Giannis thing, it just felt weird. My brain couldn't do it.
So do you have SGA at 2?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Wow.
I don't know if it's because of the Thunder thing. I don't know. Yeah, I do. I have SGA at 2.
I was not expecting that at all. I thought you were going to put Shea 4th going into this.
Nope.
For sure. Just the way that we've offhand lately talked about whenever we offhand mention the top guys.
Yeah. I've also like unplugged and came back and just was like, no, he was fucking crazy last year. That was nuts. That was nuts.
Yeah.
And I was able to wipe the like stupid free throw garbage pissed me off. I was able to just, that was gone from my noggin. And so it was just like pure, what did this man do? And it was like, oh, be an absolute insano person.
Yeah.
And be really good at basketball and have one of the best guard seasons since Michael Jordan.
Absolutely. Better since than any season Kobe ever had. Honestly. Yeah.
Since the human that they want, like, the human that is like, he did this the best. Since his best season, not even like, the worst Michael Jordan season, SGA was comparable. No, the best ever Michael Jordan season, SGA was comparable to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the best of the best. He's coming off of that, and he's also not 30 yet.
Not even close, right?
Yeah.
I think he's 26, I want to say.
Yeah, because Tatum's 27, so he's 26.
Yeah.
But they like, there's like 6 months of the year where the same age. He might have had a birthday. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he'll be
turning
27 this season. Same age as Luka. Same draft as Luka.
Yeah.
Which is like, also another thing that I forget about often.
And I do, it just, it's mind boggling to me how crazy that was. Regardless of how the man did it, who cares? If you bet your bottom dollar that if Michael Jordan would have been like, oh, if I do this, the refs will let me shoot free throws, he's doing it a million times a game. That's called being a game player, a player of the game.
Yeah.
And that's why I have SGA at 2, Luka at 3, and Giannis at 4. Don't feel good when I list it that way. I don't like that. That'd feel a little dirty in my mouth. But again, they're like,
but I know I like that it's different. I like
I
that.
I could
we
have gone
lists.
If like I was like, if I could do like so tiers, it's Jokic at the top and then those three guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm doing tiers, that is the way that I do it. And I literally would put them as tier 2 A, tier 2 B, tier 2 C. Like, they're, I don't even want to put them in different numbers.
Yeah. No, I literally, if you, not even kidding, looking at my top 10, I have every single one on its own line, except for
those
2
three?
Through 4. I have all 3 of those guys on the same line. So that's how interchangeable those guys are for me. But I did land at the spot where I feel best about Giannis at 2. Just because of the two-way factor.
Are we complete opposites? Do we have it totally flipped?
I have Luka at 4 and you have Mitch 3.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I just shuffled around.
Mm-hmm. I have Shea at 3. You had him at 2. Yeah. So, you literally just grab Giannis and slide him to 4th is how you get from my list to your list. Yeah. And then Jokic, all by his lonesome at the top. Which makes sense to me. I don't know if there's too much more else we need to go into with that one, seeing as we're pretty deep into this one. And just as a quick thing, looking at last year's top 10, my number 1 was Jokic. Both of ours was Jokic. And then I had Luka 2nd. You had Giannis. And then we had that same flipped around for 3. I had Steph at 4 last year, all the way up at 4.
You were way higher than I was.
Yeah. And you had SGA at 4. Embiid was my 5. Ant was your 5, which Ant actually went down this year to 6. And then SGA I had at 6. You had Embiid. Then I had KD at 7. You had Tatum. And this is the other thing I kind of forgot about. It's weird just thinking about a year ago where Tatum was for both of us, because I had Booker at 8. You had Steph. And I had Tatum at 9. And then you had KD.
I remember that made me really mad. I remember how upset that made me.
Yeah, because the coming off the championship.
Olympics. Like, the Olympics is what it did it to everybody's noggin.
And that.
Because stupid Steve Kerr.
But it's also in the playoffs during the championship run where they didn't play like anybody. He did not shoot well at all the entire time.
No, he did not shoot threes well.
Yeah. So it was like it felt like Tatum's one of his biggest strengths was just gone for some reason. But then
that's also when I had the take that what if between like the like because Tatum and Simmons, just because it's Philly and Boston, got like pitted against each other all the time. Like yeah. in the early years of the
when
career.
They were young. Yeah.
What if Jason Tatum is the one that actually ends up closer to Magic Johnson than Simmons
ben
did?
Simmons. Yeah.
Because he started doing the passing thing in the playoffs like a lot. And then we saw that continue to develop in the year, not to the same extent that I think the playoffs had it. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And then in 2023, this is the one that's really different. We both had Jokic 1, Giannis 2, and we both had Steph 3. So we had the same exact top 3. And then
that would have been right after he bullied myself, right?
No, this was after the Nuggets title. So it would have been a year removed from the Warriors title. But then I had Embiid at 4, you had KD. I had Luka at 5, you had Embiid. I had KD at 6, you had Tatum. And then I had Tatum at 7, you had Luka. Luka at 7. So that was the thing before when you were saying like the past several years we've had the same like top 3. I was assuming you meant Jokic, Giannis, and Luka. And so just 2 years ago, you had I had Luka at 5 and you had Luka at 7.
Oof.
Yeah, and then Booker, I had at 8 both the past 2 years. You had AD at 8. I had AD at 9. And then you had Booker at 9. I had LeBron at 10. We did last year, but 2 years ago, I had LeBron at 10. You had SGA at 10. That was the first appearance of SGA.
That was the Thunder year. That's what I was like. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, yeah, for sure.
That'll be one of my takes. That and then the Hawks. The Hawks, when they made the Eastern Conference Championship.
Oh, yeah. 21.
When I called them when I was like, they're a dark horse. They're pretty good. And then you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you said that you put them in the dark horse contender tier.
That was before the season started.
It was. Definitely was.
And then magical.
I put them at like the 9 seed, I think.
Then that magical run happened.
Yeah, it definitely did.
That was fun to go down memory lane a little bit.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's cool to look at those for sure. I think there was something that I forgot to get to right before I was about to say that. Started going into the top, our previous year's top 10s. I might not remember it though, and might just have to close up the episode. That's just the way this will seem like it has to go now. But yeah, thank you for listening to this one. Appreciate it. Be sure to check out all the things coming soon. We're going to be doing the over underlines very soon. I recorded a video recently of me predicting the FanDuel over under lines and then reacting to them, comparing them to my predictions. That'll be out before this episode is out, I'm sure. Seeing as I'm about to press like upload on it. But yeah, we do really appreciate you listening. Stay happy, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you guys next episode.
Peace.